Welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. Our very special guest today is Raquel Baldemar, and she is a fellow native Texan. Raquel, welcome to our show.
It's great to be here, Rick.
It's nice to have you too. Hey, tell us about your career journey and your company.
First of all, I miss Texas. I lived in Texas for many, many years, went to middle school, high school, and college at Texas. I'm a proud Longhorn. So it wouldn't have started, my career journey would not have started without my time in Texas. I grew up in Bolivia, was born and raised in Bolivia for many years, and at 10 years old, I moved to Texas and went to college at UT Austin. And from that, from UT Austin, I went to New York, where I got a job in investment banking. And I was on that track to do the whole investment banker corporate route in New York. And over a period of 2 years, I realized that while I was probably financially fulfilled, I wasn't using my creative energy. So I said to myself, what field can I be in where I can actually utilize my creative energies? And I remember studying in college, advertising and studying, elements of rhetoric and persuasion and how to connect with humans. And that so much of that is advertising and branding and marketing. So I decided to start an ad agency at 24. And that led me, over many years. It's been a really wonderful, and I've had like my own MBA per se in building my ad agency over the last 16 years. So it's been exciting. And over the years, I built my company and now I live in Santa Monica, California. And we have gotten some very big clients. We work with some really esteemed brands in the health and wellness space, and really proud to be where I am now. So that's, I guess, a quick summary.
I love that. Congratulations on that journey. And also, I'm so I admire and respect the fact that you decided at a young age, what direction to take and to own your own shop and to make it through that. And, having come from P&G, there's an art and science to elevating brands today. And so I'd love for you to give, we have a lot of people that listen to this show, especially young entrepreneurs that don't have your experience or chops and all that. What advice would you give to them today when they start to look at their brand and how they should develop out their brand purpose?
Well, I think we first have to realize that, you coming from P&G, me coming from this finance, J.P. Morgan background, there is actually a value, an equity value to your brand. And it's, in our finance terms, it's called brand equity. So when you build out a company, it's all, a lot of it's about sales and costs and managing that. But when, if you have like your EBITDA, which is, your earnings before interest and taxes, if you ever want to sell your company, most companies, most private equity groups, most organizations who will buy out a company, they will buy your company at a multiple of your EBITDA. Mm-hmm. And what determines that multiple of your EBITDA, whether it's a 2x multiple or a 10x multiple or a 20x multiple, is really what your brand equity is. It is, how is your brand perceived to your audience groups, to consumers? And Apple, for example, has a very high brand equity because it's not just about the sales, the raw sales numbers. It's about the brand, this emotional connection that Apple has developed with their customers. So what I like to remind people is that when they're developing their business, a lot of times elements of brand development seem kind of esoteric and it seems like it can't be calculated. But more and more, there are actually metrics and analytical tools of how to determine your brand equity and to really think about what you need to do to do that. And a big part of it is, having a strong social media presence, making sure that your brand is consistent across all of the media platforms that are available, whether it's, online, whether it's in print, customer service, through your t-shirts, through anything that customers see. And your offering, your reviews, and that you're really serving your brand by making sure at the end of the day, offering great customer service.
Well said. How do you think the pandemic has changed the equation out there or the solution from a brand perspective when it comes to, do consumers trust brands more or less in the healthcare domain?
What we are seeing, obviously, I think consumers are trusting brands a lot more in healthcare. I think people have kind of taken for granted the public health services of, you know, local hospitals and doctors and nurses. So I think there's been wonderful to see this emphasis now on, you know, these, you know, doctors and people in the health and just the healthcare system that are supporting, you know, serving patients who have COVID. But more than that, what we have seen in brands who maybe are not like in the trenches and handling, you know, the first responders who are actually handling people who have COVID-19, it's not being tone deaf. Like one of the things that we have seen is brands that are continue to just be all about themselves and just, you know, buy our product, we're best. Those brands are not actually doing well with customers. It's the brands that are actually being, you know, understand this difficulty that the pandemic has brought to people and families and consumers, and helping them in some way, either, you know, even through, you know, just messages stating, you know, we are here for you. I mean, you know, we're united in this together. Those are the brands that we are seeing that actually are getting great responses and are actually connecting with customers.
Mm. Nicely stated. From your perspective, when you see companies that are switching their production plants to making masks and or ventilators, how does a company go about doing that with authenticity without having to wave a big billboard to say, "Look at me, look at us, we're good, we're helping," versus they were always good and they were always helping right up until the pandemic?
I think it is about not being tone deaf. If you, and I think a lot of brands have made this mistake of just, you know, they have adapted to the pandemic by, let's say, a clothing manufacturer is now making masks. It's not looking like you're taking advantage of the situation and now just changing your production model so you can be profitable in a new area. Mm-hmm. It is to, you know, using other areas where that show actually you're listening to people. So, you know, it's stating a portion, perhaps like one client who, you know, got into developing ventilators, decided to give a portion of those proceeds to local hospitals. Another client, actually, they delivered about 1,000 masks to a local, you know, to a local hospital that they, you know, they had created. So doing things that actually show you're giving back to your community and you're supporting your community is, I think it's like one of the most important things you can do. It is if you are going to pivot to take advantage where we are, it's recognizing that you're just not always thinking about yourself. You're thinking about the community as well. And it's the same thing with the protests that recently happened across the nation. I was really pleased to see a lot of companies send out emails that, you know, stating how they are committed to ending systemic racism and what they were doing and their support for Black Lives Matter. So that's another great example of how brands can be in tune to their customers and be in tune to what's happening in our world. They can't just be in a bubble. And I think for many, many years, it wasn't politically correct to talk about things that was happening, you know, in our society. Brands didn't want to get involved in what was happening. But I think brands are now finding that they don't have to be political. They can just, you know, be human. And it really, more than anything else, when it shows that brands have like an emotion and feel and want to connect with people and want to connect with their customers, it goes a really long way towards building brand equity.
Thank you for that. We've got three final questions for our special guest today, and we've been accused, Raquel, of these being beauty pageant questions. So forgive me in advance. Okay.
Okay.
Tell us about who you think were your favorite mentors in life who shaped your best version.
My favorite mentors in life, I would say I've had some wonderful teachers growing up at in Texas. I had some just teachers at UT Austin that really taught me a lot about what it was going to be like to be out in the business world. And I to get a public school education, I mean, I grew up in a public school system and I had some wonderful teachers, some wonderful professors. So, what I also recommend young students though, is to go to their professors, go to their teachers, because a lot of times when you're young, you think you know everything and you don't necessarily rely on the expertise and wisdom of people older than you. But for different reasons, I wanted to, get more connect with some of my professors at college. And I'm so glad I did, because I just got some wonderful information that gave me the confidence to, first of all, go into finance, graduating from a public school system in Texas. I was competing when I got out of college. I was competing with people who had graduated from Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And I really, I was somewhat intimidated by these kids who I thought were a lot smarter than me. And I remember some of my professors telling me, it was like, Raquel, they're just, you're just as smart as them, and just believe in yourself. And that really went, that really went a far way for me. So I would say those are some of the, biggest mentors. And over the years, I've also had other just mentors that I actually sought out who had sold successful businesses, and I wanted to learn their process. So whenever you find people that you admire, that have done things that you want to learn from, I recommend to really ask them questions. And many times most people are actually glad to answer questions and glad to guide you. Be curious. Be curious about how they did it. And you don't necessarily need to copy it exactly. See what you can learn from them. And the final mentor, which I don't know if you really consider this, but I really love podcasts. Rick, I listen especially to the Tim Ferriss podcast. He's the author of the 4-Hour Workweek, mm-hmm. and he's interviewed some really great people over the years. And it's amazing how he interviewed people that just even to this day continue to just inspire me and help, remind me just new ways I can think about how to improve myself and how to improve just how I interact with the world. So I love listening to these podcasts. So whatever, podcast that connects with you, I say, listen to them and see where you can get information, because you can find great mentors, even if they're not actually directly mentoring you themselves, like as a one-on-one, but through a channel like a podcast.
That's right. Just what you just said, you are a virtual mentor to so many people virtue of being on this show today. You don't have to personally know Raquel, but Raquel can be your virtual mentor by what you just said. Okay, this next one is really related to you more than any other question that I've asked today. What is the last advertising campaign that made you cry out of happiness because it was so emotionally well done?
I think the Dove campaigns that showcase real women in all of their forms have really, really touched me and brought tears to my eyes to see how Dove was able to celebrate women of all shapes and sizes. As a woman, we are always taught that beauty is like the most important thing we have to lead with. And I think it's, as a girl, I'm very feminine. I want to be girly. I want to be seen as beautiful, but I also know how it creates this pressure. And when you see an advertising campaign and you see a big company like Dove that has, they're backed by big advertising dollars, how they're celebrating women, and femininity in all forms, it truly, to me, it's truly beautiful.
Thank you for that. Final question for you, Raquel, is this one. this is a really unprecedented time in our nation's history for lots of things that have all intersected together. If you were to address our nation of listeners today, what do you think is the greatest gift that we can give to one another?
I think love and appreciation. Everybody wants to feel, everybody needs to feel appreciated in some form. And especially now where there's a lot of loneliness, there's a lot of broken homes, there's a lot of, unemployment rate is high. I think what you can do is just to go out into the world and just show love and appreciation for those around you. And even people you don't know, even if it's like just a thank you, just a look in the eye, just recognizing that you appreciate them, even if it's a teller at a bank or a cashier or at a, at a coffee shop, is to recognize we're all in this together. And it's a hard time for everyone. Everyone's been affected by this. But if you can lead with love and appreciation, you're gonna do so much better. And always try to look every day, try to ask yourself, how can I show love and appreciation to a stranger, to my family, to my friends? And if you can do that, I think you will be a lot better off than a lot of people.
Oh, thank you for that. It's been an honor to have you on our show. You're welcome back here anytime. You're such a delight, wonderful person of wisdom. And we really enjoyed hearing your insight today. Thank you so much. We're going to have this show available everywhere podcasts are heard. So you get to hear Raquel here on our show before she's on Tim Ferriss someday. And
well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Rick. And if anyone wants to connect with me directly, you can find me on Instagram at rbaldelomar. And I'd love to be back on your show again. And just keep Texas strong for me.
We will.
Can't wait to go back. My mom's there. So, you guys stay safe. I know you guys have had a surge. So stay safe as well, please.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Raquel Baldemar, and we appreciate her being on our show today. Thanks again for joining us on this special Success Made to Last. If you like this show, let us know with a comment and rating on our website, successmadetolast.com, and go to our contact page and tell us about your positive experience. And if you want to kick your week off strong, make sure and subscribe to our newsletter. It'll add a lot of wit and wisdom to your life. As we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, you're crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.